The Fan on Demand. Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com. This is Got Game, a show by gamers for gamers right here on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Each and every week we bring you the latest in video game news, reviews, and interviews. EA Sports gets old school and brings us legends in NHL 12. EA also brings us a high-definition edition of Grand Slam Tennis. Jerry Rice gets his own football game, with a little help from his dogs. FIFA gets busy with Major League Soccer, while Google Plus gets its gaming on. We go from sea to sky with Bioshock. First, it's the prequel of a book, Rapture. Then we look ahead to Infinite, before we get caught up with the latest installment from the Xbox Live Summer of Arcade, Fruit Ninja Connect.
Have you got game?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Zach Kupel. We got Momin Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb. Feels good to be back, and we got some big news as well. Came down Friday afternoon, and that was that EA Sports is evidently going the way of 2K, as they have done in the world of basketball. EA is doing for the world of hockey, where they certainly dominate, and they're going the route of the legend. So far, what we know, Wayne Gretzky, Ray Bourque, and Chris Chelios will be part of a group of nine legends that are going to be in NHL 12, strewn across basically every game mode available in the game, which sounds amazing. Be a legend mode, you get to recreate the lives, the careers of, well, these three plus six more who are unknown as of now. Plenty of build-up between now and, I guess, the 13th of September. And a lot of excitement. Thoughts? Do we want to start speculating on who the rest are? Let's get some thoughts on this first.
I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's amazing. I think, 2K definitely hit a home run with Jordan last year, and then the idea with Bird and Magic
this year.
And, of course, EA started this kind of last year when they came up with NHL Slapshot for the Wii with Gretzky on the cover. I think this is awesome, and I love the fact that it's not just kind of a separate mode that you can integrate them into your regular gameplay and use all of them. And Madden's been doing it for a long time with their where you can use classic teams and play different games, and I think it's awesome that you can play as Gretzky or hopefully Lemieux or Gordie Howe or whoever.
There will also be available in the Be a GM mode. You can add them to any team that you, you know, use today, and they'll also be available in the Hockey Ultimate Team, which was brought in last year. Of course, it was kind of like that fantasy card playing game kind of element that, that I actually spent probably more time with than any other mode in NHL 11. With NHL 12, the ultra rare cards now including these legends. So let's get some more thoughts on
this. Well, there's also a Be a Pro mode, which I always enjoy those in every game. Build your own guy, you know, take him from the little leagues up to the top. That's always exciting. But would you guys slap me if I asked who's, you know, what will they do now for NHL 13?
I will punch you in the face.
Yes. Christine, what do you have to say?
I think it's awesome. Especially since they went so far to do to make it more active with the goaltenders. I'm curious if they're going to bring back anybody like even Tony Esposito or somebody like that.
Patrick Roy.
Yeah, well,
right now
they're just shadows, and it looks like there might be one goalie in there.
Yeah.
And if it is one goalie, it's got to be Patrick Waugh.
I would
imagine, unless they go with a former cover athlete in John Van Beesbroek or something.
I think it's Andre Rasico. That's who I think that is.
Maybe Grant Fuhr, get another Oiler in there.
Yeah, could be. This is where the fun happens, right?
Yes.
Where you get to speculate on who these guys are. We're looking at the
silhouettes. This is where we need another live show and get some,
some calls in.
Send us emails of who you think the other six legends should be included in NHL 12. Outside of Gretzky, Ray Bourque, and Chris Chelios, we want to know who you think should fill in some of those shadows. GotGame@fan590.com is the email address.
It just says nine NHL greats, so that doesn't mean that there can't be current players, can
That's
they?
True.
So
yeah.
I would say Miller. If I was to pick one goalie,
Ryan Miller?
I would put Miller in that, yeah.
I think they really want to capitalize on the legends, the old guys, bringing them back. And, you know, it's funny because we're kind of in an era of nostalgia in everything that we do. It's just in general life, like old things are new again.
Everything's throwback.
And I love this idea that you can use the old guys. I think EA is so smart in the way they handle things, particularly with this NHL franchise. And, it's just another way. Like this game in this country specifically needed more buzz and more hype. to, like, I mean, it's not like everybody's not already chomping at the bit to get the game.
Now you can't not get NHL 12.
Yeah. I quite honestly was a little on the fence about getting this game because...
You're an idiot.
Well, you know, I'm admittedly not very good at the NHL games, but I like playing them. But I've gotten it every year for the last 3 years. I thought maybe this year I might take a break, but not anymore.
Yeah.
If I can play as Gretzky. And I like the fact that Chelios is in his Blackhawks jersey.
Of course.
No Avalanche jersey for Ray Bourque? Well, come on.
That's where I remember him from. Well, that's where he got his ring.
That's right.
I mean, you know, that's a pretty big deal in itself, but I like it. You know, this is very exciting. And I think, you know, for me personally, I knew it was, you know, I was going to be getting NHL 12. I had already sold my NHL 11. And you know, I don't even know how to temper my excitement at this point now. I'm super stoked. This is a big deal.
And kudos to EA for bringing this right out of left field. I had no idea this was coming. We all kind of hoped. And we kind of were been
really you hoped.
Well, yeah, I did. I mean, based on, like, everything that 2K's given us in basketball, you know, and I mean, Zach, I was at your house last year playing the Jordan bits, and we've learned about the Magic and the Bird, Dr. J, Kareem. Why wouldn't I want to do that in hockey circles?
Well, but you said you hoped. I mean, I agree that this is a great idea.
Hold on.
I agree that this is a great idea, but this is obviously EA taking a look at 2K's game and going, hey, we can do that too.
That's fine. Yeah. Does it matter where the idea comes from? Yeah, no.
I don't care if they stole the idea.
As long as you make it happen. And I'm super excited about this. And if we are being honest, I mean, this just came down noon on Friday, and we had literally just finished taping the show. So, here's our new lead.
Yeah.
And our lead before was actually what I thought was pretty exciting, and that was also from EA Sports, and they're talking about their announcement that they're bringing EA Sports Grand Slam Tennis back. And I don't mean back to the Wii, which is where they had the original and the only other EA Grand Slam Tennis. They're bringing it in high definition. It's coming to the PS3 and the 360. It will have Move integration as of now. We don't know if it's going to utilize the Microsoft Kinect, but I'm excited about this. I mean, there was so much appeal with the Wii version, and it was so simple, and yet it was so fulfilling. I enjoyed the idea of just swinging the racket, and there were colorful characters. They had the legends in there as well. John McEnroe is back, and it's funny, if you go to the page where they talk about the characters that are involved, they say Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, Maria Sharapova, Djokovic, and I mean, they double up on Djokovic, and you know, we're speculating at this point, maybe it's evil Djokovic that gets in the game this year, finally, at this point. We don't know.
Time traveling Djokovic's?
I think it's just because he's having such a monster year. They put him in the game. He's having such a good year, we gotta put him in there twice.
Cloned Djokovic.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
Future joke. I mean, the possibilities are endless, and this is really exciting. I mean, I loved the Wii version. It's probably my favorite tennis game that I played.
Me too.
You know, we even played the HD ones, the Virtua Tennis 4, the Top Spin 4, but there was just something to EA Grand Slam Tennis on the Wii that I liked so much, even though you weren't, you know, controlling your character. All you're doing is swinging the racket. There was something there, and I think that was one of the first games that implemented the Motion Control Plus.
Wii Motion Plus, yeah.
That's what it was. But the fact that it's going to be on the HD consoles, I think, is huge. And for those who don't have the PlayStation Move, you know, as of now, we don't know if it's going to be on the Kinect, but we do know that they're... I guess rebirthing the control system in that the right stick's going to be all racket, left stick's going to be all control, so you won't even need any face buttons. And you talk about accessibility and how huge that is, but I'd imagine there's going to be a lot of depth to this as well.
Yeah, but you talk about accessibility. It seems to me like this huge mistake for them not to have Kinect integration, because what else would be better than using your hand as a racket to go back and forth? That's what that Kinect controller was made for.
But that's not to say that it won't be on the Kinect. As of now, they haven't announced that it will be. I'm assuming that it won't be, but we can't say
for sure.
That's
a heck of an announcement not to make right now, though.
Well, I mean, it may be just, you know, hammering out the details and kind of working out the kinks and stuff like that. But I love the idea that this game is coming back for a new edition. It's kind of weird. They took, a couple of years off almost.
Well, what happened was EA Sports Active was so popular, the first one, that they devoted all their attention to EA Sports Active 2, which bombed, and it has failed miserably. But, you know, it's back now, and I think we're all excited. We don't know when it's coming out other than it's coming out in 2012. You guys talked about this last week when I was gone, but the FIFA 12 cover athlete, I know you talked about Wayne Rooney, but perhaps regionalizing it, you kind of speculated the possibility that maybe the MLS would get in on it, and as it turns out, they have. LA Galaxy midfielder Landon Donovan's going to be there. Red Bulls defender Rafael Marquez. I'm a bit surprised that Thierry Henry isn't in the cover mix, but this is what we've got.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because when we were talking about it last week, we weren't only talking about whether there would be, but is it a good idea to put an MLS guy on? Because, you know, the people who play FIFA are generally pretty hardcore soccer fans. They love the game, and I don't know if an MLS player has that kind of appeal, except for David Beckham on the LA Galaxy.
No, see, I'm glad that David Beckham's not on the cover because soccer fans don't care about David Beckham anymore.
Yeah, they don't like him.
Do soccer fans even care about the MLS? I think David Beckham is bigger than the MLS.
Well, that's the appeal
almost bigger than soccer.
If you're in New York, I mean, sure, yeah, maybe you get a Rafael Marquez. If you're in LA, yeah, Landon Donovan. I mean, these are still pretty big figures. Yeah. And if there's that local attachment to that, I could totally see that.
You know, Beckham on the cover, where people who don't even follow soccer know who Beckham is.
Yeah, but they're not the people that are going to be necessarily going for a FIFA 12. I mean, FIFA has their market, not to suggest that they wouldn't be open to expanding it, but they've got the hardcore soccer fan clamoring for a new installment each and every year. They don't want a David Beckham. If I saw David Beckham on the cover of FIFA 12, I would probably be closer to not picking it up than I would be to being interested in grabbing it.
I understand what you're saying, but to me, if they cared about the hardcore soccer fan, they wouldn't even bother putting an MLS player on because
I don't know about that.
No,
I don't necessarily think it's a great idea because I think the MLS isn't necessarily at the level, obviously, that a Premiership or a Bundesliga is whatever. But if you're going to do it, you've got to put regionalized athletes. And I think Landon Donovan from the Galaxy is a wonderful choice. He's a big name. People know who he is.
We're running out of time already. Jerry Rice is getting his own football game, but I don't think you should get your hopes up for this one. It's exclusively for the Wii. It's coming out in a few days. And if you're wondering why you haven't heard about it before, well, I think I know why. And it's because it's, it's called Jerry Rice and Nitus's Dog Football.
Nitus is Jerry Rice's dog.
Yeah, and so it's Jerry Rice as a quarterback on top of 13 other QBs, and I think here's the clincher, 20 breeds of dogs. So there are at least lots of dogs.
Dogs than quarterbacks.
More dogs, that's a valid point. And the idea is everyone's vying for the coveted Golden Hydrant trophy.
Well, the beautiful thing about this is that, people who are listening to this right now can go check out this game because the developer's website is judobaby.com, and on that website is a flash version of the game you can play right now.
I'm sorry. I have to ask the question. Is Michael Vick one of the quarterbacks?
Oh!
Wow. I don't know. But for $30, you can find out. It is called Jerry Rice and Nitus's Dog Football.
My question is, who's going to be the underdog now?
Stop.
No?
Stop.
No?
We didn't really have time to talk about something that we will talk about because we have to. It's Formula One free to play. It's called F1 Online. It'll come out next year at some point in 2012. Details are slim. We'll get to those. Also curious how you feel about the Nintendo 3DS and the price drop and the impact that it may or may not have on you. We're going to ask you to write in as well. Google Plus gets into gaming, but we're also going to delve into BioShock, and this is a game that I feel really passionate about. We're going to talk a bit about the book, actually, which details the events that leads up to BioShock 1 and how Rapture became Rapture. If you don't know what Rapture is, I'll try to explain it. We only have so much time, and we'll definitely get to it after I finish the book. But there's that, and we also look ahead to what will be coming out some point next year. And it is a huge deal. It is the third installment of the BioShock franchise. It's called BioShock Infinite. And we have got the lead artist joining us to talk about it. So I'm really excited about that. On top of that, a little bit later on in the show, we'll talk about Fruit Ninja Connect, which is the latest installment in the Xbox Live Summer of Arcade series. Also, something that we should talk about, we don't really have any details on, we'll find out either next week or the next, after that, being Pro Evolution Soccer 2012, the game that's coming out on September 29th. It's going to have a companion to it called My PES. We don't know about it now, but we know they're going to be announcing it in Cologne, Germany at Gamescom, probably sometime next week, we'd imagine. So we'll find out that, and we'll get you the details as soon as we possibly can. More God Game in a matter of moments. This is God Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. We've got game. Do you? In the
Got Game.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590. I'm Zach Cooper. We got Moman Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb. And we have a little bit more of the sporting game that we want to talk about. It is Formula One Online, and it will be a free-to-play sim that is coming out in 2012 for your PC. We don't know much about it as of now, other than you can build your own team, customize it however you like. You can use real-life teams that are out there in Formula One right now, you know, Red Bull, McLaren, Ferrari, you know, you know the deal. And it's going to be put out by Codemasters, which is a developer, a British developer, known for plenty of racing games, most notably probably the Dirt series. And I think this got a lot of people really excited. It was announced just before the weekend. And Calhoun, as the resident wheel guy on the show, what do you think about
this?
You
make it sound like we're about to go commit a heist. I'm going to drive you away from
the
crime.
You're the wheel man. Come on.
The wheel man.
Take us where we need to go with F1 Online.
What I actually found the most confusing about the situation, or maybe confusing is the wrong word, the thing that just jumped out of the page to me is, you know, how they're going to set it up with what seems to be a free-to-play model where you're going to have to get the game for free and then buy, you know, maybe better cars and a better pick or stuff like that.
Customizable features, I would imagine.
And it seems that we're seeing a pattern of microtransactions going from, you know, first the Codemasters, Valve's also doing it, a lot of PC companies.
Tons of games are going free to play. I have no problem with that personally. It allows you to experience the game, and then if you want to enrich that experience, spend a buck here. And really, it's a genius model, because what happens is they price things to the point where they're a dollar. Oh, it's not too bad. I'll buy this one. A few days later, I'll get another one. Sooner or later, you end up spending $20. And sure, they're not getting the $40 from whatever it is that you're buying out of the box. But with this being a free-to-play game, they're not worrying about distribution or anything. It's straight off the website.
There's a chance that you may also just spend more than $60.
But that's up to you. That's up to the gamer, the individual. You spend however much you want to spend, determined on how much you enjoy this game or how much more you want out of this game. If it's a free-to-play that isn't very good, you haven't spent a cent. Yeah. The risk-reward factor is great.
Sure, it's a free sample model. I think it's awesome. Here's a little taste. You like what
first taste is free?
Yeah, it's the first taste.
As many tastes as you like. Yeah, it's if you want different flavors, then you got to pay.
Yeah, if you want the good stuff, you got to pony up the money.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. If you want the faster car, you may have to pay
but
for it.
Some people just like vanilla.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, like I said, the strangest thing is that it's Codemaster, it's Valve, it's these high-end developers that we don't normally see pulling this model. You would normally expect something like Zynga to pull this model, but now to have the Codemasters and Valve do it, maybe all PC gaming will go this way.
All right, quick segue. You talk about the Zynga and obviously the prevalence on Facebook and all the games. We know that Google Plus is now getting games. They're starting to roll them out to select users. They're not trying to flood anyone at this point, but you're looking at stuff like Angry Birds, Bejeweled Blitz, Diamond Dash, and Zynga Poker. You know, I'm not a guy who likes any of the Facebook games. I don't play any Facebook games. I know a lot of people do. They're not really for me. I have Google Plus. I don't really use it.
Nobody does.
Yeah, but, you know, it's coming out, and we knew it was going to. Now it's here, kind of.
I don't know. I'm a little happy about this, because Facebook games rely so much on, you know, bugging.
Spamming?
Yeah, spamming your friends list, you know.
How do you get Mafia Wars points?
Yeah, but with like Angry Birds, that's a single-person game. I think you said Bejeweled as well.
Yeah, Bejeweled.
You know,
Blitz.
These all sound like games that maybe you will not have to annoy all your friends to play, which is actually kind of a good thing.
Yep, well, I'm fine with
Google Plus has to do it. I mean, they have no choice, really. Facebook is obviously their main competitor, and they're trying to crack into that market. So you've got to get in at all angles, because it's weird. When Google Plus came out, everybody signed up for it. Nobody uses it.
Yeah, and it's true. I think the one thing that really stands out for Google Plus is the fact that, you know, they're a little bit more lenient with their privacy features, and that photos that you put up aren't belonging to Google now. Thumbs up to that. Yeah. I want to get into some BioShock stuff. I went on my road trip, as we talked about, and I got to partake in the beginning, at least, of BioShock Rapture, which is a book that details the events leading up to the first BioShock, which is, if you're not familiar, Rapture is a place that's built under the sea, and it's a great story. I mean, a lot of the charm from BioShock is basically the plot line dealing with it. It's a city under the sea that is free of government, free of politics, dealing with taxes and whatnot. It's basically this pioneer, Andrew Ryan, who's a Russian immigrant. It's the story of him in BioShock Rapture, the book. And it details the events of him creating this sea, the purposes, and I should say the city, the purpose for bringing people down there, and obviously the de-evolution and how it turns into the rapture that we know from the games, which is phenomenal. The next game in the series is called Bioshock Infinite. It goes from under the sea to above the city in the sky in the District of Columbia is what they're calling it. And it looks very cool. It's not coming out until 2012, but at E3 we had a chance to speak with Sean Robertson, who was the lead artist at Irrational Games for Bioshock Infinite. And we pick up the conversation by talking about that very decision, going from sea to sky.
When we decided that we wanted to do another Bioshock game, we figured that we didn't really have any more stories to tell in Rapture, so we wanted to think of a new location to talk about, you know, what we wanted to say about Bioshock. And, you know, City in the Sky was one of those things that we all kind of, you know, we thought was a great idea, and we wanted to explore that more. You know, and as the idea took shape and the story took shape, you know, it's kind of developed into a character of its own, so...
And so how do we, where do we find the similarities and where are the differences? I mean, I got to watch the gameplay demo, and obviously, graphically, it looks similar. And it looked like there was something close to the plasmids, but what are you able to divulge in terms of that kind of stuff?
I mean, when we decided we're going to, you know, wipe the slate clean, we always use the term no sacred cows, you know, that we weren't going to only take the things from Bioshock that we thought were essential to a Bioshock game. So you really have to boil it down to what is a Bioshock game. And for us, it's really heavy narrative, being a compelling narrative, drawing the player through the game and making them feel like they want to explore every nook and cranny. You know, the city is a character in itself, and the city has a story to tell. And if you really want to sit there and explore it, like, you can learn that story. And giving a tool set, a wide tool set to the player so that they can solve problems, you know, whether it's shooting someone or trying to figure out how to get to a certain place, with the tools that they feel most comfortable with or that they want to play with. And when you boil it down to that, you know, it's really the essence of a Bioshock game.
So then in terms of what we are seeing in Columbia, we know that, you know, that it all started with the Big Daddy, and then the one you didn't work on had the big sister, and now we've got Elizabeth, which is kind of the protector and the captor of, or I should say the Songbird is the protector and the captor of Elizabeth. Talk to me about that dynamic and how it may or may not be similar to a Big Daddy.
I mean, when we sat down and we were talking about the story and the story that we wanted to tell, I mean, there's obvious similarities between the two, but it's really more of a coincidence than anything. Like, you know, the Bioshock Infinite is its own unique story that we're trying to tell. So, you know, we don't want to, we're trying not to pick up the baggage of where we left off with Rapture, Big Daddy's little sisters and things like that. Like, Elizabeth is a woman unto herself, as is the Songbird. Not a woman, but, you know, Songbird is a creature unto himself.
And obviously, I mean, what we got to see at the E3 demo was more of the Songbird than we'd ever seen before. And it's from an artistic standpoint, what was it that you were trying to achieve with the Songbird? It's like, kind of like a robo falcon of sorts.
Yeah, the Songbird, yeah, it's funny because people describe him to me differently, you know, depending on the person. So I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth because I actually enjoy hearing all the different descriptions of how people describe him. But as far as the relationship goes between Elizabeth and the Songbird, I mean, he was her captor, and he kept her imprisoned. And, you know, his goal in life, his purpose, is to keep her safe inside of her prison. And Elizabeth's goal in life is to be the master of her own destiny. So there's definitely a conflict there. They don't wish each other harm. Like I said in the presentation, she loves him dearly, but at the same time, she cannot be in the prison any longer. So we present that conflict between the two characters.
And it looks like, based on what we've seen, the dynamic between the protagonist and Elizabeth, and of course the Songbird is a huge part of the story, and you guys obviously take a lot of pride in that. I know we're running short on time, so I want to ask you, obviously a big element of Columbia in Bioshock Infinite is the fact that you guys have the rails, and it's kind of like that roller coaster mentality. There's a lot of combat that is incorporated in that, a lot of exploration as well. Can you shed some light in terms of what you guys were hoping to give the player with incorporating that?
You know, at its heart, we wanted to give the player a fun way to explore the city and experience combat and be able to move around and, you know, fly and have that experience of a roller coaster at, you know, at its core. It's just, it's a fun way to move around. And it's funny for me, you know, working on the demo and seeing it 100 times from where I was sitting facing the audience rather than a demo, is watching everybody's jaws drop open when we do the big roller coaster jumps. And to me, that makes me feel like, yeah, we hit it. You know, like we're getting that visceral feeling across to the audience of how it feels to be able to roll around on a roller coaster. And but it's not about being stuck on a roller coaster like in real life. Like there's different lines that you can jump onto. You can reverse direction. You can get on and off at the points that you choose. So it's very systemic.
That is Sean Robertson talking about BioShock Infinite. He is the lead artist for Rational Games, and I'm excited. You know that. I didn't really talk about the book like I wanted to. When I'm finished, I'll probably be able to expand on it. But so far, it's been a great story. And I'm very, very curious about what goes down in Infinite and that relation between the bird and the protagonist and just everything. It looks so cool.
When we were at E3 in June, this trailer is probably the one that stole the show. When they ran the BioShock Infinite trailer, I remember people were floored by it. People's jaws were open. When you walked around the floor, it was the one that had the buzz and the people talking. There was obviously a few other ones, but I think this Infinite trailer and the booth that they had was always flooded. It was never not busy. It was crazy. Even just to get in and see like the full thing.
I literally had to basically sneak in.
Yeah, and that's how it was. Is you had to force your way in there.
I did it legitimately, though.
This game's got the hype machine going full steam right now.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this game because it will finally answer the question, is BioShock about the creepy environment or is it about the people inhabit that creepy environment?
Or the plasmids. So many elements. And the one thing that I found interesting is they basically, I mean, it's understandable, Irrational Games, not really paying too much mind to what was BioShock 2, different studio that made it, and so they're kind of ignoring it altogether. Yeah. And so really, it's not that it's going from 1 to 3, it's going from under the city to the sky, and it's a completely different take on a theme. And I'm jacked. Yeah, I am Brett Laurie jacked for BioShock.
For the first time ever, I'm excited for a BioShock game.
We'll go into the deep, deep world of Fruit Ninja Connect in a matter of moments and just talk about how much there is in this downloadable title in our review section. I got a great iPhone game for you as well that you should check out. And we'll see what else is popping in this otherwise quiet time in gaming. We'll find out what's brewing and how your interest may have changed in the 3DS with the price drop now in effect. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
This is Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. We've got game. Do you gameplay?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Zach Cooper. We got Moman Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, and Christine Chubb. And before we get into our reviews, before we get into the 3DS stuff, I just want to sort of bring up something that I discovered when I was on my road trip through New York and Boston. And we were actually staying right by the infamous Berklee School of Music. And we didn't really do too much. I mean, a lot of the city, I mean, there's so much culture in the city of Boston. It's a fantastic place. If you haven't been, you definitely need to go. But basically, a lot of people talk about the talent that comes in and out of that school. You walk around the corner, you see kids playing music, and, you know, you can sort of see that there's something there. My wife was shopping for clothing at one point, and I decided I'd go off and do my own thing, and they had a game store that, you know, it's very easy to kill time at a game store, and I ended up chatting with one of the clerks there, and she was telling me that she happened to be a student at the Berklee School of Music, but she is studying, well, she's actually doing a dual major, but one of them is video game music, and to me, I'm thinking right off the bat, such a prestigious school, and they've got a class taught by a professor, so to speak, teaching video game music. And it's one thing if you see this at a, you know, run-of-the-mill college or a college that's high in tech, but this is one of the most prestigious music schools in the world. And this is basically the reason why she went there. And to me, I thought that was fantastic. And I was, you know, talking to her about some of the games that stood out for her as far as the best soundtracks. And she said one of her favorites in terms of the score was Dead Space 1 and 2. And I said, oh, I haven't really spent too much time with Dead Space. Can you speak to that? I mean, a lot of that's atmospheric and...
Yeah, Dead Space was awesome on doing the creepy music,
yeah,
which definitely intensified the experience. So I totally understand that. Yeah, Dead Space 2 had a good soundtrack, and I love that idea that you can go to school and major in video game music. It's just another sign of
that's
the
not
industry.
I mean, this isn't at those schools that you see the commercials for on television. I mean, you know, it's a big deal. It's legitimate.
Did you ask her how it differed from regular, like playing in a band?
No.
Call her up.
I didn't get her number. That'd be kind of weird. I'm going to go see my wife again, who's buying clothing.
Hey, honey, I just got this girl's number.
Yeah.
I'm going to call when I get back.
Let's get into some, actually, a game that I played with my wife, a bit at least, is Fruit Ninja Connect. And I got to say, I mean, going back to E3 from 2 years ago, when we saw what ended up being a part of Connect Adventures, which is basically the first-person brick breaker. You know, when you have the big red balls flying at you in the screen and you're hitting them back and you're trying to smash the wood blocks. To me, that really spoke to the appeal of Xbox Kinect. It's the interactivity in that regard, and it gave me something that I wanted to do, and that's that was my favorite part of Kinect Adventure. Here we are with Fruit Ninja Kinect, and for those who aren't familiar, Fruit Ninja is a game that started on the iOS for your iPhone, your iTouch, and your iPad. It's since moved over to Android and everything of the sort, and it's a game where fruit comes flying up, and you need to slice it. You evidently do that with your finger on the phone. Here with Fruit Ninja Kinect, using your Microsoft Xbox 360 and the Kinect that you hopefully have if you're trying to play this game, you are karate chopping in your living room, and you can even get some kicks in there as well. And to me, I mean, there's not too much depth. It's basically the exact same game that you pay 99 cents for on your phone.
One do you think is better? Let's say you have both like you do.
Well, am I going to sit in my living room and play on my iPhone when I can play on my Kinect? No. I love Microsoft Kinect's version of Fruit Ninja Kinect. I mean, there's something to be said for just getting up, staying on your feet, and, you know, when I started out, I was kind of being elaborate, getting my Bruce Lee on, doing these, you know, wild motions and chopping all over the place. But obviously, if you want to get a high score, you got to be smart about it. You got to time your slices and be precise with them. The idea is to get big combos. And there's a science to this game, and, you know, perhaps I'm being a little over the top. But
fruit science?
Yeah, it's a very lavish and delicious fruit science. And, I mean, it's just a lot of fun, and it involves a lot of activity. I was sore for about 3 days after my first run-through, which was probably about an hour or so of Fruit Ninja. A big part is leaderboards and smashing your friend's scores, and there's no doubt that that's going to be a big driving force as far as the replayability with Fruit Ninja Kinect. But you're doing all these motions that are, I'd imagine, foreign to you. I know they're foreign to me. I don't do too many karate chops in real life, and the range of motion is pretty vast because I'm slicing basically the entire length of my 42-inch TV. And so I had a sore shoulder, I had stiff arms, and at the end of most rounds, depending on the game mode that you're playing in, there's this one fruit that comes by, and you need to slice it as quickly as you can. You get like multiple slices, and you try and get up above 50. And it came to the point where I'm trying to reenact this, and I couldn't even do it because I'm just like so worn down. The heart rate's going up, and it kind of also brings me to my one quasi-major flaw with Fruit Ninja Kinect in that it's not the most precise. Sometimes you'll be slicing, you'll catch a bomb, which in some modes will end your game, in some modes it will take away from your score. And there's that, but there's also the factor of sometimes it will read a slice where there isn't. And the big example of this, for me at least, is when I'd be done a round, I'd be going to grab my towel to wipe off, and it reads it as retry. So instantly, I'm in another game, and there's no chance to cool down. I'm just getting right back into it.
There's no pause button.
Well, pause with Kinect is standing very straight and holding out your arm at like a, I don't know what angle that is, but it's ridiculous, and it takes about 7 seconds to pause. So basically, you can sort of forfeit the game if you want. Just let the fruit fly, and you don't do any slicing.
Seems like not being able to say Kinect pause is kind of a
I thought about that this morning on my way to doing this review, and I was like, I didn't try that, but I don't think you can do the Kinect commands in-game. I'm not mistaken. I just want to outline the fact that there is a two-player mode, and this is kind of what I alluded to on the back half of the last segment, because I started playing, you can do co-op or you can do battle, I was playing with Nadine the other night, and we don't have the biggest living room, but we've got enough space to play Kinect, and I'm not going to lie, I chopped her a few times.
Yeah. See, now this is an ongoing trend with you, because I can remember when the Kinect first came out, and I think me and you were playing the soccer game in Kinect Sports, and you karate kicked me to the chest when we were playing.
Yeah, it happens.
I think we should actually make a video of you playing Kinect one day, so our listeners can see just how animated
dude.
You get.
The camera would never survive that filming. But I hear that the menus in that game are real negative.
That too, because it's so difficult to just navigate the menu, whether it's trying to, you know, choose your play mode. Sometimes it won't read the chop properly. Sometimes if you go to what's called Sensei's Dojo, which is where you get all the gear that you've unlocked through your scores and whatnot, it's difficult to just go up and down because you're controlling it by chopping up or chopping down. And that's the most frustrating thing with this game. And I mean, there it's not a perfect game by any means, but if you have a Microsoft Kinect and you're looking for something to play, Fruit Ninja Kinect is the perfect game. This is what speaks to me the most. I would suggest if you have a Kinect, you have to get Fruit Ninja Kinect.
Because what else are you going to play?
Well, there's that, but it's a lot of fun, and it's a solid workout as well.
I agree with you. When I think of the Kinect and what you can do on the Kinect, this game, it fits perfectly into that mold that I have in my brain of what I would want to do. But I wanted to ask you is, we know you loved it, but what did your wife think about it when she played
it? She enjoyed it. I mean, she only played it for a bit, but she liked it as well. She likes the iPhone version as well. But there's something to be said. I mean, a swipe of a finger is one thing. Getting all interactive with chops, and just think about, you know, if you've got kids or something and you want to keep them entertained, this will definitely do it. It's playing like a ninja in your living room. It's amazing. And, you know, there are some technical limitations to the Kinect at this point with this game, but it is just so much fun. You have to get it. 9 out of 10 for Fruit Ninja Kinect.
I think he liked it. I can't tell, though.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
It was all right. So, you know, I want to get into an iPhone game as well, but I want to urge anyone who's listening right now, who may or may not have a Nintendo 3DS already, the price drop has gone into effect. So at retailers right now, you can get a Nintendo 3DS again, which just came out in March. Now it's available for $170. I want to know if you have bought it because of that, if you were hesitant before so, and now perhaps you've delved in, which is basically exactly what I just said, or perhaps you still don't want a piece. Price drop or otherwise. We want to know. GotGame@fan590.com. Please write us. Let us know your thoughts on the Nintendo 3DS and the price drop, which is now in effect. For those who do their mobile gaming on their iPhones, like myself, I tried out one of the games that was featured on, I think it was last week's featured games, and it's called Temple Run. And I know last week you guys were talking about Flew the Coop, which was done, you know, locally here in Toronto. And that game sort of plays to a common theme on the iOS and a lot of anything touchscreen based, which is those side-scrolling platformers where you basically just do one touch to jump and you try to stay alive for as long as you can. Temple Run is a game that I recently discovered. It's 99 cents as well, and it's basically the same kind of theme, except instead of going side to side, you're going away from the screen. And what you do is you slice up to jump, you slice down to slide, and you can tilt to grab coins, which are on either side of this corridor that you're following. You swipe right to follow a path right, swipe left to follow the path left. And basically, you've got these demon monkeys of sorts chasing you, and you're trying to stay alive as long as you possibly can to get an idol of sorts. And, you know, I've never gotten that far, but there are unlockables based on how many coins you collect. You get more powerful. It obviously speeds up the further you get, and it's just a nice twist on a common theme. I know basically everyone who has an iPhone basically has Cannibalt, and they've loved it for a certain period of time. But they might be bored of it. And this is a great 99-cent game that is, you know, a nice twist on a common theme. And if you're looking for something new for your iPhone, check out Temple Run. 99 cents. Great purchase, in my mind. So that's what I've been playing basically outside of Fruit Ninja Kinect. But we know that, you know, the big name releases are kind of slow at this point. So I'm curious what you guys have been playing. Chup?
I've been enjoying the Xbox Live Summer of Arcade. I've been
stuck
on From Dust for quite some time, but every day I go home and I still try and get a little bit further, still try to get my guys around the lava and around the flooding, and it's fun. But also, because my favorite Skyrim is coming up, I've been revisiting a little Oblivion, touching on the world a little bit, thinking, I cannot wait. I just cannot wait. So that's what I've been doing.
PlayStation is getting their own equivalent of Xbox Live Summer of Arcade. It's called PSN Play. It's starting on the 23rd. More details as we get a little bit closer, but basically the same sort of deal. Most games will be $15, which was the case with Xbox Live Summer of Arcade, with the exception of Fruit Ninja Kinect, which was $10. Calhoun, what are you playing?
Well, right now I'm playing NASCAR The Game, which we talked about the patch a couple of weeks ago, and I would love to sit in this program and say, hey, it's made NASCAR the game great, but
there's
still a lot of issues. Now, it's fixed the major issues. You can actually get every race going, but you know, it seems that that big issue maybe had overshadowed a few smaller issues. There are server problems. Games will just drop for no reason completely. You know, everyone will get dropped from the game completely out of it for no reason. Some servers may not even start for the exact same reason. So hopefully they fix those server issues.
Moman, what you got?
You know, it's funny. This week I was thinking, man, I really want to like review something for this week. So I walked into a local gaming establishment and I said, what's out this week? And the guy behind the counter literally looked at me and said, nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, nothing. He was like, absolutely nothing. There is nothing out right now.
Which Ninja Connect was the only release this week.
And that's why I got to applaud Xbox and Microsoft once again, because last year I know they brought it out and they had some pretty solid games. This year, all of them have been shining. We still have Toy Soldiers, which we'll get to
next week.
And we'll see if they went basically a perfect 5 for 5. I'm 4 for 4 so far by my account. Everything that I've played from Xbox Live Summer of Arcade has been fantastic. If you've got to connect, you got to get Fruit Ninja Connect. We've got to run. For Moman Qureshi, Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, I'm Zach Cooper. This is Got Game on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.